This episode of Empty Checking Fast Cash is being recorded September 1st, 2020, and in it I will be talking about the movie Knives Out, the new album by Taylor Swift, and candles. And we're also dealing with a weird buzz that seems to be intermittent on this microphone that comes in and goes out. That might come up, it might not, I'm not really sure. Regardless, I'm your host, Derek Brink, and you are listening to Empty Checking Fast Cash. Hey there, checkmates. Last time we met, I was talking about getting a new laptop and that the show might be delayed or coming out slower or something. I don't know. I made some excuse that was laptop related. I've got the new laptop in, so it's working and hopefully we'll be able to do these things occasionally. I will say that my internet has been struggling lately. I've got a really old modem router and need to do something about that, and I'm working on that too, so hopefully we'll be able to do some long-form episodes here soon, but in the meantime, these shorter little fast cash episodes are good news, and I hope that you'll enjoy them. There are some websites you might want to check out that are related to the show. There is, of course, the Empty Checking blog over at emptychecking.blogspot.com. The show itself is hosted at Podbean at emptychecking.podbean.com or podbean.emptychecking/... I'm sorry, the address has flown out of my head, and I think it would be a disservice to the quality of this show if I took time to look it up. So I'm just going to move on. If you like me, go over to derekbrink.com. There's stuff there you can click on that's mostly about my musical career. If you like my musical career, you can check out derekbrink.bandcamp.com. All of my stuff is there for absolutely free. You just enter zero as your purchase price and you can take it with you, and I won't even know that you took it. It's a good deal. Go do that. All the music you hear on the show is from that. And of course, the show is available on the podcasting app you're listening to it on right now. So those are all the websites. One of the things I've been excited to talk about, I've been buying a lot of candles. I have rediscovered my love of scented candles because I am a 58-year-old mother of three, and I would like my house to smell like flowers. That is where I am in life. So I've got a couple of candle companies I want to talk about. This is in no way an endorsement deal. They haven't asked me to promote them. I just bought some of their stuff and like it. I've got two that I'm going to talk about. The first one is a smaller company, I think out of Minneapolis or thereabout, called Frostbeard Studio. And they've got really cool candles. They're sort of designed to be themed after literary stuff, like some books and based around bookstores and that kind of stuff, like what the smell of a bookstore or a smell that's supposed to remind you of some of your favorite literature. I'm a little bit disappointed that they haven't gotten like super weird with it. Most of their scents are the scents that you might expect. There's like Sherlock's Study that has kind of a tobacco smoke and leather type scent to it. There's Halfling Hills, which is a very sort of springy smell, ties into the Lord of the Rings. There's various Harry Potter themed scents, in fact a lot of Harry Potter themed scents. Whether or not J.K. Rowling is worth listening to personally anymore at this point is up to you, but those books were nice, and a lot of those stories mean a lot to people, so they've got a bunch of Harry Potter scents out there. But they also have things like the Oxford Library, a scent that's supposed to be similar to that of the Oxford Library, or a scent that is the smell of old books, or one that's called Rainy Day Reads that I like a lot. Just stuff that's themed after literature, but like I said, I'm a little bit disappointed that they haven't gotten weird with it. There's not like Dean Moriarty's jacket, or Holden Caulfield's stupid hat, or Vonnegut's cigarette. There's not like those scents I would really, really like. You don't want to smell any of that. I understand why they're not doing it, but I'm just disappointed that they haven't gotten super weird with it, because that would be my instinct if I were making scented candles based on literature. Comment on something and leave the most upsetting literature scents that you can think of in the comments, and maybe we'll petition Frostbeard Studio with some horrible ideas. And please don't do that. Don't bother them. They're really nice, sweet people. They've been really friendly throughout this process. I bought five of their candles. I named most of them there. I feel like I'm forgetting one, but I've really been enjoying their scents. And they're really cool. They're a small business that I'm sure in this time of COVID would appreciate more business. And I really like the Frostbeard Studio candles. You can just Google Frostbeard Studio and you'll find them. They're easy to find. And they've got really cool stuff. I really, really like them a lot. Another company I really like a lot, they're a little bit bigger and you probably have heard of them and seen some of their ads and stuff, DW Home. I know less about them. I just know that they're a slightly bigger company and they've got a little bit more variety in their candles. Their candles are a little bit bigger and maybe even a little bit cheaper in some of the sizes than what Frostbeard does. But Frostbeard, I think, has a couple of scents that make any extra you're spending on them well worth it. They're really cool. But DW Home makes really cool candles too. I bought five of theirs as well and I've been really, really happy with theirs. And they make just a variety of different scents, just anything you can think of, but I was attracted to kind of the weird stuff. I like fall scents, although I'm not like a pumpkin spice guy or an apple guy, but they have one called Warm Flannel that I really enjoy. They have Fireside Embers, just kind of the smell of a fire. What else was there? I'm just trying to remember what I bought. Oh, Woodside Bourbon, I really like, or Woodsmoke Bourbon, I really like. It's just, it smells like you're inside of a glass of cask-aged bourbon. That's really cool. I really like their vanilla bean scent. I like vanilla as a scent. That's one of my favorite sort of scents to have in the room. And their vanilla bean candle is great, as is Ocean. I picked up Ocean, which is kind of different for me because I'm not a tropical guy, but I just a different thing. It smells a little bit like a clean laundry, I think. DW Candles makes really cool candles too. They're great. So are Frostbeard Studio. And I have been enjoying a bunch of candles in my house, just sitting on my couch with a candle lit, reading a book or watching a movie or what have you. That's been a lot of the evenings for me, just sitting there enjoying a candle. So I wanted to mention the two places that I've particularly been enjoying. Check out their stuff. I think the prices for both companies, really, really affordable, and I've been super happy with the products, and the shipping speeds have been great, even in the middle of a pandemic when the White House is trying to take our mail service away for some stupid fucking reason. The mail has still been good from these two companies, so one of which is located in California, which I know Trump is particularly trying to bankrupt right now, so don't worry about that. They're still getting stuff out in a reasonable time. And great companies, great products. You should check them out. And I don't care if you disagree with my politics. I'm always behind on stuff like this, but I finally watched the movie Knives Out recently. Knives Out. The sort of comedy whodunit movie that everybody was talking about 6 months to a year ago. I finally picked up the Blu-ray because it had been suggested to me by the right people and enjoyed it. I enjoyed watching it a lot. I finally just sat down and wedded myself to it. If you're not familiar with it, like I said, it's a sort of comedy whodunit murder mystery thing, sort of in the vein of Clue. If you remember Clue from the, I believe, late 80s, or if not very early 90s, but I think late 80s. I remember being a kid when it was in theaters. It's sort of in that vein. In fact, I feel about Knives Out, I feel like the millennials finally have their answer to Clue. Clue is still better, but Knives Out is in that same kind of tone, and it's you know, finally the millennials have a clue of their own. For once, the millennials have a clue of their own. Sorry, easy joke. Yeah, Knives Out, really good. Cool cast. I don't know some of them, but the because I stopped learning who new actors are sometime after Chris Pratt got huge. But like Daniel Craig is in there, Chris Evans is in there, Jamie Lee Curtis is there, Don Johnson of all people is there, who I didn't recognize until like halfway through the thing, halfway through the movie, I finally went, oh, that's Don Johnson, because I just hadn't seen Don Johnson in a while. It was kind of interesting. Christopher Plummer, of course, is in it. In a very small part, Ricky Lindholm is in it. Ricky Lindholm is, of course, is half of the musical comedy duo Garfunkel and Oates, who I like half of their stuff, and then half of their stuff I don't. So it's but I like the two ladies that are in Garfunkel and Oates. Does that make me sound like an out of touch grandpa? Two ladies that are in the they're both ladies, Ricky Lindholm and Kate Micucci. I like the both of them. So even when I don't like the song that they're doing, I like the two of them, and I'll still watch. And I still think I like following their careers. Ricky Lindholm's in it. I liked the movie a lot. I thought it was a lot of fun. There were a couple of minor things I didn't care for. Of course, there's a spider on someone's face at some point. I didn't love that. But I don't know why every movie has to include a fucking spider these days. But anyway, moving on. The only thing that was really a stumbling block for me on it that was hard to get past is it felt a little bit too wedded to 2019, because it had a chance to be really sort of a timeless little sort of just world of its own mystery. But it just feels a little bit like they tied it too heavily into 2019. They talk about the Donald Trump election, which doesn't bother me because that feels like it's sort of setting it. What bothers me is they leaned a little bit on some 2019 fads, one in particular that comes to mind. They talked about somebody's Instagram page and referred to it as Insta and referred to her as an influencer, which those terms are going to go away. Within a couple of years, maybe within a year, we're not going to be calling it that anymore. In fact, at some point, because Instagram is an app and it's been sold a couple times already, I think, at some point we won't have an Instagram, so no one's going to know what an Insta is in 20 years, and we're damn sure not going to know what an influencer is in 20 years. We're not going to be using that terminology. And that bothered me, because other than that, I thought that, all right, it's always going to be, whatever you make, it's always going to be of its time. Like, you know, we're going to at some point look back on this movie and think, ugh, look at those cell phones, you know. Now we call everybody using the implants in our nipples. What were we ever thinking with cell phones? I mean, that kind of thing is going to happen. But I feel like referencing something that's that much of a, especially a linguistic fad, is problematic for me, because I feel like in, you know, 10 to 20 years, when people's kids are watching this, because people's kids are watching Clue, I mean, with Clue, you can Google communism and the red herring joke. With Knives Out, I'm not sure it's going to be very easy to Google Insta and Insta influencer in 20 years, you know? So that bothered me a little, but that's such a minor complaint against what was otherwise just a fantastic movie that was a whole lot of fun that I almost feel bad making it. But that's just one of those things that bugs me that I have to rant on, you know? But it was really good. It was funny. It was fun. It kept you guessing for a while. About halfway through the movie, the audience has all the information, and then it's less of a who done it, more of a how done it, and more of a how did they solve it. It sort of shifts from being a whodunit to being an episode of Columbo. Like, you're just watching the Daniel Craig character solve the crime after a certain point, and that's fun too. But yeah, just really entertaining, really fun, really engaging. I had a lot of fun with the movie, and I think a lot of you who are avid Checkmates would too, if you haven't seen it. Probably about a week after I watched it, I tweeted, and a couple people commented on it. I just tweeted, you know, I really wish I could see Knives Out again for the first time. Because that was just a really fun first watch experience. And I'll tell you this, I went back and watched it with the commentary after that, and enjoyed it that way too. So I think there's a real rewatchability to it. So yeah. There's your late review of a movie that everybody else has already told you about. Knives Out, worth your time if you haven't seen it. I think it's currently on Amazon Prime. Don't quote me on that. Because I bought the Blu-ray, which you should all still be doing. Thinking out loud with everybody listening, you might have known it changes tone, but sex is just as good as it seems.
Love is an obstacle. Love is a chore. Love is a carnival. As long as you're sure, and you can always crawl back for more.
In an unusual move, I bought my very first Taylor Swift album. I've never had a problem with Taylor Swift. Not a huge fan. Her stuff's been a little bit kind of, I don't want to say that it's like plasticky, but it's just not my thing. Like, I'm not in her demographic, you know? I feel like I'm probably about 20 years older than her demographic. So I've just never been a big Taylor Swift fan, but I've never had a problem with her. Back when the, I'ma Let You Finish moment happened, I even kind of defended her a little bit to friends on the internet who, you know, talked about, well, I don't know why she was being awarded best anything. You know, it was kind of a lot of people saying that. And I kind of defended her to that. I was kind of saying, look, she's writing charming little songs for young girls, telling them they can be anything they want. What's wrong with that? You know, that's a great thing to do. And, you know, she's writing stuff that sounds like her every time. That's what I was saying even back then. And she's artistically shifted a lot over the years, and her stuff, again, has just not been, hasn't been aimed at me. You know, it's mainly a lot of female empowerment stuff that I believe in, but that I don't necessarily, like, it's not my, I don't need to walk around singing about. Or, you know, catchy stuff that I just won't gravitate to is probably more the issue that I have with her. I'm not a shake it off kind of guy. I don't like that. It doesn't appeal to me at all. It's too hooky and too, you know, kind of, I don't want to use the word cliche, but I'm going to say cliche. Like, a lot of her stuff just falls into that category for me. As far as her music, like the 1989 album did nothing for me. I prefer the Ryan Adams version, you know? Although, jury's out on whether or not Ryan Adams is the kind of person that you want to hitch your wagon to these days, I suppose. But I haven't really heard any updates on his problems either. So who knows? It's not mine to judge. It's just mine to listen to music and decide if I like it or not up until something tangible happens. But anyway, bought my first Taylor Swift album and her new album, Folklore, because the online buzz got me interested. The fact that it bears a parental advisory sticker got me interested, because that's a first for her. She's never done anything that was risque before, so at least not to this extent. So that caught my attention, and I've heard a lot of people reviewing it saying that Taylor Swift finally wrote an album for grown-ups, and I decided to check that out. Because like I said, I've never really had anything against old Tizzle Swizzle there. Sometimes I call her Tizzle Swizzle. Also call her Tay Bay. So, I don't know. Get ready for that. I never had anything against the old Tizzle Swizzle. So I decided, you know, if she's writing stuff that's maybe a little bit more in my wheelhouse, I'm going to give it a chance. So I picked up Folklore, popped it in, and gave it a listen. And it's a tame album. It's a very sort of, I guess, quiet, very melancholy listen, very, very laid back, very, very, you know, sort of low-key type album. To be honest with you, it probably could have used a little bit more variety in that way. The songs are all kind of in the same style and same pacing, and it feels like she could have switched it up a little bit and had a better album, or maybe if she weren't going to switch it up, maybe cut 2 to 3 songs and had a stronger album. But at the same time, I do like it. I like it quite a bit. It's in my wheelhouse, and it feels like the kind of album that a guy like me, it would be my gateway into Taylor Swift, which it kind of is being. So, and that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to go back and buy everything that she's ever done, but it gave me a window into what I like of what she does. So that's, it works for me on that level. I like it a lot. I admire the bravery of finally including swear words and adult topics in her material in a way that to my knowledge anyway, she hasn't done before. I don't know exactly. Maybe she's done some adult topics, but this is the first one that's had a parental guidance sticker, and, you know, she uses some of the really good curse words on it. Some of the ones that I particularly appreciate, and I admire the nerve that it takes to do that. That's a hard decision to make. maybe a little bit off-putting for some people. I mean, to be honest with you, there's a part of me that wishes that she didn't, because you just, when someone works family-friendly for that long and works kid-friendly for that long, it's a little bit of a shame to see them change that. At the same time, I don't think I said anything close to the same thing when the old 97s on their album Most Messed Up used the F-word 40 times. I don't think I made any complaint about it then, so why am I complaining about it now? And the answer to that, I think, is because I never had the impression that the old 97s were trying to be family-friendly or were trying to write music for kids. But at the same time, in my own musical career, I hit a point where I made the transition from not swearing to swearing in my lyrics, and that was a difficult decision to make for me. A little bit less so because, again, I didn't really feel like I was ever marketing myself to kids or ever marketing myself to as a family-friendly musician. Even when I was doing the Christian stuff, I didn't feel like I was specifically saying, hey, this is clean and wholesome. You know, I don't feel like that was ever one of the things I was doing, whereas I feel like that is something that Taylor Swift was doing for a very long time. So, but looking at my own career, it was still it still felt dangerous the first time I said fuck and put it out there for people to listen to. So I know the struggle of that, even, I mean, on a micro scale in my case compared to what Tebe is going through. But I know that that's a difficult decision to make, and I greatly admire the fact that she did, even if I don't know if I were in her situation if I would have. The fact that she did speaks volumes to me about where she wants to go and who she wants to be and what she wants to do, and I'm sure she probably struggled with should I, shouldn't I. I'm sure that in her situation, you know, she was going, I don't, yeah, maybe the second the album dropped, she went, I don't know if I should have done that. But the fact that she probably had the doubt of, you know, should I, would I, will I, the fact that she probably had to work through that and still did it, I think that's admirable. I think that should be applauded. And I think the album benefits from it. I think if you're going to present something that's this different, if you're going to, you know, have essentially a country and a pop background, more pop than country recently, and then shift into something that's this different, that isn't really either of those genres, but that steers a little bit closer to the country, but not pop country, just kind of rootsy Americana type vibe. If you're going to make that shift, choosing to use more grown-up words and talk about more grown-up things really, really helps that shift. So I think she did a great job with that. I think it's a really good album. I don't know, I'll be honest with you, I don't know that it's going to be in my top 10 for the year, but it certainly is one that's worth talking about. And I think I've talked about it now. So I've really enjoyed Taylor Swift's Folklore, despite the fact that my niece, who was on a constant anti-swearing campaign, probably won't enjoy it as much as I did. All right, folks, that'll do it for this episode of Empty Checking Fast Cash. Just a couple loose ends to tie up. I want to say real quick, rest in peace to Justin Townes Earl, who wrote wonderful, wonderful music, much like his father, Steve Earl. And that was a unexpected and very sad loss. I recommend several of his albums, but if you've only got the time and money for one or two, then I recommend Midnight at the Movies, which has an excellent cover of Can't Hardly Wait by The Replacements on it. And Nothing's Gonna Change the Way You Feel About Me Now. Those are two of his finer albums. He put, his last and most recent album out was, 2 years ago, I think, in The Saint of Lost Causes. Good album, too. But the other two are kind of my favorites. Justin Townes Earl was a sad loss, and that was a bummer to hear about. Also, rest in peace to our dear King of Wakanda, Chadwick Boseman, who passed away after a unknown to the public 4-year battle with cancer. He fought quietly and fought strongly and was a wonderful model to people everywhere and did a great job being representation for people who need representation in movies, in life, in comic book movies, and so on. And his was a sad loss as well. It's responsible for me now having a Disney Plus subscription so that I could watch Black Panther, because I don't have that on Blu-ray, and it only felt appropriate over this past weekend to watch it. Yeah, a couple sad losses in the past week or so, and that's always a bummer. But just wanted to say that, because both of them seemed like they should be acknowledged. Other things that feel like they should be acknowledged: please keep fighting the good fight against racism. Black Lives Matter. Please remember that and take it to heart. Also, if you are in a situation where you have to leave your home for work or otherwise, please wear a mask when doing so. Please social distance as much as possible. COVID-19 is still a very serious threat. It's Missouri keeps posting new daily records for COVID-19 infections, and you don't get to stop caring just because you're bored, and you don't get to stop caring ever, really. That's one of the best pieces of advice I think I can give you as a human being, is you don't get to stop caring, and your actions matter in this thing. So please do all the things that you know you're supposed to be doing in the fight against COVID-19, because, boy, it sounds like a lot of you aren't. And speaking as someone who's barely been out of his house since March, I'd really love to go outside one of these days. So please do the right thing. Please stop doing the wrong thing if you're doing the wrong thing. You don't even have to make that big of a deal about it. Just do the right thing. It's important. Sorry to end on a low note, but hey, thanks so much for supporting the show. Thanks for telling your friends, family members, enemies, well-wishers, rabbis, and priests about it, and check us out next time. Also, Bad Blood is one of the worst songs I've ever heard in my life.